Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Welton Baptist Church this morning. It's really, really good to see you. Please, if you're not quite sure where to sit or anything, you can't find a space, do just grab a chair and go and sit with someone you want to, wherever you want to. That'd be great. We've had a very sort of busy couple of days as a church, haven't we? Thought it'd be nice. We deserve a bit of a rest because did anybody get to go to the pantomime? Did anyone? Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, yes, we did.
Okay, we'll leave it there. But a big thank you to everybody who's been involved in the pantomime and put so much work into it. I'll just take a step back. That might help. It was brilliant, wasn't it? Now, Mike and Rachel and Jonathan and Kath, they've gone away for the weekend. They're at Centre Parks. And we thought, well, if they're going to have a little bit of pampering, we deserve some pampering, don't we? So there's croissants at the back. If you didn't manage to get one, you're still welcome to go and take one. Now, what we really hope is that this morning, the way that the room's laid out, or how tired you're feeling, or whatever you're worried about, or how long the service is, or how short the service is, we really hope that none of that gets in the way of our worship of God. We want to come this morning and worship God together. Ephesians 5 says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't it a privilege to be able to meet together? Yeah? Is it a privilege to be able to meet together? It is. Not only is it a privilege to meet together, but it's amazing that God welcomes us and longs to receive our praises. He loves our praises, and it's just fantastic to be here this morning. Just to explain what's going to happen a little bit, we've got some good opportunities to worship together. John Addicott is going to share about a hymn that his house group's chosen. Scott's leading some songs. Everybody's going to help me with our Bible reading. What else have we got? Oh, if you're really good, we might even introduce a card game at the end of the morning. We've also got a time of prayer, which Rachel has organised. So that's kind of the idea of the morning. The all-in service is an opportunity for us to actually do things together a bit more than sometimes we can on a Sunday morning. Now, I've got a very special guest prayer to come and help me this morning. So Seth's going to come up and open in prayer for us.
Dear Father in heaven, thank you for being with us this week, if it has been a good week or a bad week. Thank you that we are able to come and meet here without being persecuted. Thank you for everyone who prepared this service today. Help us to hear what you want to say to us this morning. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to hand over to Rachel, who's going to explain a little bit about the icebreaker that you should have on your table in front of you, hopefully.
Okay, just on a practical note, hands up if you've got spaces on your table. Okay, so if anybody's looking for a space to sit, those hands up show that there's 1, 2, 3 places on those tables, so please do come on in, but help yourself to a croissant and a drink first. So, on your tables, if you hadn't noticed before, we're going to now have a look at those sheets. So, the idea was you've worked out now. Who thinks they've worked out what the parable is we're looking at today? Those pictures are pretty obscured. Some of them a bit close in. I'm just going to come around and see if we know what anything's on there. So, we'll go top left and along. Who thinks they know what's on the top left row? Who's worked out what that is? Anybody? Okay. Oh, here we go.
Seeds.
Oh, we're doing very well there. Sowing seeds is a brilliant clue. It's actually a dandelion. Rhymes with seeds. It's a weed, but yeah, it's a plant. So thank you. Yeah. Right, and that's going to give you a big clue for the rest. So, the next one along, what's happening in that second picture with the man on it? Anyone?
Being strangled.
Absolutely. Strangling, choking. 3. What's that third? Oh, that's the next row. Oh, that's really tough. It's a very close image of something. Any ideas? What on earth could it be? And you can just have a stab if you want. Okay, it's something that there are lots of different sizes of. We all use them. We usually have four. Go on.
Is it a note?
No, it's not. I'll keep giving you clues. You might get it. So we have four of them on the things we drive around, but this one's a special one. It's very big. Sorry, I'm going for the hands-up option.
It's a wheel.
It is a wheel. Well, yes, it is a wheel. And does anyone know what vehicle has wheels that are sometimes taller than me?
A bus?
Yes, a bus has a big wheels, but this thing's got even bigger wheels. The tyres can be about this wide.
A tractor.
Yeah, it's a tractor wheel. Next. Oh, I've got it upside down.
Is it a ploughed field?
No, but that would be a brilliant link in. It's a real close-up of something on your body.
Hair and the ear?
Yes. He who has ears, let him hear. Next. Oh, this is a close-up again of a particular type of something. Do you know what it is? Hands up.
Onion?
It's not an onion, but an onion's similar because it has those stripes, doesn't it? Any more for any more? Thank you, though. You've all got... No? Oh, I think I just heard it. What did you...
A seed?
Yes, it's a seed. Shout out what type of seed you think it might be. It's a sunflower. Okay, next. Oh, yeah. Answer. Anyone on this table know what's next? It's the one on the left.
Sparrow.
You're on the right lines. It's a crow, but it's a bird is the main point. Yes, please. Thank you. Right, next. Does anyone recognise the character? There are lots of films in a farming genre. Does anyone recognise that character? No, Matthew?
No, hello, one.
No, it's not. I'm afraid. Oh, come on, Steve. Do you know what it is?
I haven't got a clue.
Okay, who is it?
Tractor Ted.
Yes, it's Tractor Ted. And... Right, shout out which large heavenly body is in the next picture. It's the sun. Yeah, I'm going through quickly now because I realise I'm taking a long time. Close-up of something? Bottom left? Some of the ladies, I'm not being too...
Sewing machine.
General. Thank you, Jacob. A good lady's answer. It is a close-up of a sewing machine. And the next one? Thank you, I've heard it said it's a path. So... What parable might we be looking at today? Hands up.
A parable of the sower.
Yay! Thank you.
Okay, if you'd like to take your seats. Now, we have some really brilliant worship songs, and I've been talking to various people at times about the words, because sometimes the music's great, but we actually get lost in the words. We don't understand what they mean, and I know, I've spoken to John Addicott before, and he's really passionate about the words that are in hymns and choruses. And so today I've actually asked if he would choose a hymn with his house group to think about why the words are so important that we sing. They're not just empty words, it's not just the music, it's the things that we're singing and saying. So if John could come up, he's going to share about the hymn which his house group have chosen, and then Scott's going to lead us to sing it afterwards.
Well, as Matt said, he asked our house group to choose a hymn on the theme of the parable of the sower. And I think there was a certain amount of mischief in Matt's asking us because we couldn't think of any songs that we sing that speak about sowing. Except Philip reminded us of some really old songs that we used to sing, and we thought singing a quartet wouldn't be what we was appropriate for this morning. So here goes. Most of us sow seeds in our gardens, and I, as in my work as a farmer, sow seeds in the hope of harvest. In the parable of the sower, it was a seed sown in good soil that gave such a good harvest. As farmers, we spend a lot of time trying to produce good soil, ploughing, harrowing, and sometimes deep cultivations to break up the subsoils. That's our job. And if we don't get good planting conditions, then we won't get a decent harvest. We, however, can only do so much. We try to plant the seeds in good soils, but God gives the increase. God doesn't do the preparation of the soil. He's given us that responsibility. We certainly can't make the seeds grow. That's God's work. So it is in our Christian lives. We have the responsibility to cultivate the good soil. The plough and subsoiling can sometimes be painful but necessary. The weeds that are smothering in our lives must be uprooted. This is our part, but God is with us and he gives the harvest. We've chosen the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I don't know about you, but I've got an aversion to people changing the words of some of our much-loved hymns. And I'm going to be an absolute hypocrite this morning, because by changing one word in the hymn I've chosen, it does give the thought of sowing, of seed time. So here we go. Could we change the word of "In Great is Thy Faithfulness," the second verse, to seed time instead of springtime? It will remind us of our responsibility to prepare our hearts to receive seed. The rest of the hymn speaks of God's faithfulness in everything, but particularly in the seasons of the year to bring harvest. So in the second verse, instead of springtime, seed time, and the reminder it gives us.
Now, this morning's reading, it comes from Matthew 13, 1 to 23, but don't dash for your Bibles. You can dash for your Bibles. But we're actually going to be moving some verses around and working our way through it, so you don't need to try and follow it for now in your Bible. Now, you're going to help me a little bit with this reading, which should be interesting. I'm going to start with verses 1 to 3, which say, "That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables." Now, Jesus used lots of parables, didn't he? I expect some of you have heard the word parables before. And I've got a little bit of a Greek lesson for you this morning, because we're quite highbrow church here, you know. Does anybody know what parable is in Greek? Anyone? Anyone? Yeah? It's actually parable. Yeah. My kind of foreign languages. That's the way ahead. You've just put an O in it. If we could do that with everything, it would be great. But parable, actually, it means placing beside, putting something next to something. And Jesus uses stories to actually help explain his message. He puts it beside the message. Now, I really need, first of all, some people with ears to help me this morning. And if there's anybody here who's got ears, please could you actually... You can have a competition at the end, okay. Okay, so the scripture, verses 9 to 17 says, "He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Why do you speak to the people in parables?' He replied, 'The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be forever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are you. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Okay, so we need to be using our eyes and using our ears this morning to get the message. So let's find out what this parable is. Now, I have to say at this point, there may be some sweets involved in this story, maybe. If you see any sweets or get hold of any sweets, you're not allowed to open them until you're told much later on, okay? So I need a Brownie Scout's honour or something. You will not open any sweets. Adults, all right? No sweets to be opened. Children, no sweets to be opened until you're told. Now, is that okay? Are we all willing to do that? Yeah, good. Now, I need some volunteers at this point. First of all, I need somebody to be a farmer. And I'm not using John. Yeah, Joel, come on then. You'll be good. I want some adults involved in this as well. Well, we're going to have some. I need five women. Not children, I need five women. It's not going to be humiliating. If five women can come up. Joel, do you want to jump up on the stage? Yes, well done, Hannah. Four more. If you come up on the stage, that'd be good. There's my farmer. Don't all rush at once. You don't have to do anything. It's really easy. Yes, Amanda, well done. Three more. Three, what do you say? Oh, he's practicing his farm. Jill, well done. One more. There's nothing humiliating, I promise you. I can't ask Rachel. Come on, one more person. What? Sarah, what is more than Shanna? Come on, Sarah, up you come. Okay, now you're on my birds, all right? Yeah, well, that's what it says in here. You're my birds. Okay, now I also need somebody bright. All right. No, somebody bright. You don't have to be clever bright. You could be sort of just bright. Bright clothes. Go on then, let's have Noah. Come on then, that become. You also need to be quite strong, Noah, but I can trust you. It'll be okay. Now, this is the really easy one. I need 20 of anyone. 20 of anyone, okay? So if you just want to come up, if you want to come up, and then we'll make up 20. Okay, while Rachel's sorting those out, four groups of five, Rachel. Now, I need, from the remaining tables, I need a table which has people that rock the most. Okay, which table, who on your table, Phil, you rock? It's the only. I was thinking of moving away from that sort of rocking, but it could be that sort of rocking. This table, yeah, your table there, okay, Mary's table, John and Mary's table, you rock. Don't worry, Mick, you don't panic, it's fine, you'll be fine, he looks all scared. Well, I'll tell you what, it's fine, that is fine. We don't desperately need them. Okay. Matthew, are you, which group are you with? Okay. Right, Joel. I need you to choose some seeds to take out with you. Any ones will do. Do you want to take that one because they're at the end? Go on, take that group. Okay, a farmer went out to sow his seeds. Go on, off you go down the steps. Oh, I'll tell you what. Here's our path. You can stay there, Joel. Stay there. Now, can you scatter your seeds? All the people are seeds, all right? Can they come and sit on the path for us? Sit on the path. Now you've just got off the stage. Jump back up onto the path. Quick. Oh, there's everyone in the way. Are they gone? That's it. Lovely. You want to sit down? So the seeds fell on the path. Now I need the birds. I think you need to make some good bird noises for us, please, birds. Okay? A bit louder. Come on, Sarah. You can do it. Go on. Just anything. Oh, it was worth it just for that. Okay, now, I'm really sorry, you seeds. Where's your seeds? Can you show us the bag of sweets? Where's it gone? Oh, Joel's got it. Now, unfortunately, the birds, you have to hand it over to the birds. The birds came and ate them up. I'm ever so sorry, but that's the story. Now, you can go and sit down, I'm afraid, till later on. Take your birds, you can go and take your seats as well. Right, listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed that was sown along the path. Now, where's the farmer? You can stay. Some seed fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. Right, farmer, please could you take another bunch of seeds with you? She won't be on her own. You want to grab Holly, if you go over there, just one bunch go. That's it, if you three go. Tim, you can stay there. Off you go, farmer, take those three with you, that's fine. Now, where was the table that rocks? I made a bit of a mistake there. It's not the table that rocks, it was the table of rocks. But it was close enough, wasn't it? Okay, so it's that table over there with John and Mary on it. They're waving at you. Take the seeds over there nice and quick. Okay, Jesus said, the seed sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. Holly, could you do some springing for us? Seed springing up? Ask your daughter. Okay. Do a bit of a spring for us. Can you do that? Spring? Okay. Thank you. Now, could our amazing son, where's our son gone? That was Noah, wasn't it? Okay, that was the best son I could find in there. Now, you need to take that over to John and Mary's table. Oh, actually, you can do it there, Noah. That's fine. You can wave it from there. That's it. Nice and high. Oh, well done. Okay. Jesus said the seed sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no roots. I'm sorry, seeds, but you need to hand your bag of sweets over because you just withered away. Can you give those to Mary? Or you can hold on to them, but don't open them. Okay, go and take your seats, you three guys. Well done. Noah, you can take your seat now. Thank you. Round of applause. Jesus said, the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. Now, other seeds fell among weeds. I need a weedy table. Sorry, anyone feeling a bit weedy? You're going to be the weedy table? I love volunteers. Well done. Well done, the par table. Okay, do you want to take another bunch of seeds with you? The Pars, Jerry Pars table. Okay, now we need to do this bit a little bit carefully, okay? Because I know what you're like. All right, just be gentle with them. Now, these seeds grew up, but the weeds grew amongst them and choked them. All right, Jerry, just gently with them. A bit of choking. You can choke Tim. You can definitely choke Will. He's mine. You can. That's fine. Oh, dear, the one who received the seeds that fell among the weeds is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. You're going to have to give your sweets to Jerry, I'm afraid, Tim. Finally, you can go and sit down, guys. Well done. Finally, Jesus said, still other seed fell on good soil. Please, could the farmer take the seeds that are left? Well done, guys. Now, obviously, the good soil is going to be on the table with my wife on it. Yeah, brownie points there. Go and find the good soil. Here it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Okay, if you go and see Joe, can you show us the seeds? Oh, look at that. Please could Joe give the seeds a packet of sweets each? Ooh. Now, if those seeds can take them around, there should be a packet for every table, okay? So if you pass them around, make sure every table gets a packet, but they're not for opening now, okay? Remember the rules. That comes later. Anybody munching sweets will be, I don't know. Something happened, I'm sure. Okay, Jesus said, the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Okay, I'm going to hand over to Keith now.
Okay. Now, I have to say, I didn't realize that sowing and being a farmer was so complicated. I'm glad I don't have to do it. And, there's a bit of good news really this morning. As a speaker, when you're talking about a parable, it's actually a bit of a result on two levels. Number one, I don't have to worry about, what did Jesus really mean when he told that parable? I don't have to look at the Greek. I'm not as fluent as Matt, obviously, in Greek. I don't know, the great amount of stuff which he does. But the good news is, Jesus actually said, well, I've nailed this. I'm going to tell you what it actually means. And we've heard a little bit, in fact, we've heard all of what Jesus said this morning. And not only was that said once in the Gospels, that was said three times. So it's pretty clear, what Jesus' intention was. And the second thing, really, which is, again, good news for you lot, it means that my talk is going to be mercifully short this morning. I've timed it to less than 8 minutes, and I'm sure it's going to probably go even quicker than that. But when Jesus has explained the meaning so well, then, there's very little I can do to add value. So I'm just going to make two very brief points, really. And they partly lead on from what John was saying earlier on when he introduced that hymn. And the first thing to consider is, what is at the heart of that parable? At the heart of the parable is the gospel itself. It's the good news. The parable talks about the seed being the word of God. And I just want to make it really clear, well, what does that actually mean? Well, for those who went to MFest a few years ago, you know that memory verse from John 3:16 very well, that God so loved the world, he gave his only son, so that all that who believe in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. And that is the good news. But again, we can say that and think, well, actually, what does that mean? What do I have to do? And, to be a bit clearer on that, what we're saying there is that Jesus died on the cross 2,000-odd years ago so that our sins, our wrongdoing could be forgiven. And instead of having a sort of a gap between us and God, that would enable us to rebuild a relationship with him. And the parable was saying, well, that's the good news. That's the thing you need to hear. But not only do you need to hear it, you need to respond to it. And the rest of the parable is how people respond. But if you've not heard that this morning, you're thinking, what exactly does that mean? Then before you go today, ask the people on your table, come and ask me, what should I really do? And it's quite simple, really. You should believe. You should believe that God sent his only son to die for us. And you should ask God to forgive our sins. It's not that complicated, but please don't leave without doing that. But not only does this passage give a, speak to those people who've not heard the word of God before, I also think it does have a message for what I hope with many of us here who have heard the message, have responded to it. Because I think if we look at verse 23, and Matt didn't do verses, so I'll just read that verse again. And it said here, and the seeds sown in the good soil stand for those who hear the message and understand it. They bear fruit, some as many as 100, others 60, others 30. The question that always arises in my mind is, why do you get a variation in productivity? Why do you get 30 for some, 60 for others, and 100 for still others? And in order to understand that, I think we need to just sort of think back to that first part of the parable and think, well, actually, perhaps some of that still applies to us, even though we've heard the message and understood it. Because even though we've heard it, we are still not immune, as John said earlier on, from the worries of this life. Whatever they might be, for the youngest ones here, it might be going to school. It might be relationships in school. For those of us who are slightly older, it might be work or the pressures of family. It's never easy just being around and just surviving. And of course, there's all the pressures of church. You know, this morning, there was a huge amount of effort put into getting all the tables and so on. But you know as well as I do that the pressures of life sort of crowd in. And perhaps that variation in productivity, the 30, the 60, the 100, comes from how well we handle those pressures. And secondly, I just want to talk very, very briefly about my gardening knowledge. Now, my gardening knowledge is pretty limited. In fact, I'm going to ask for some help here. Now, I'm glad Neil's not here because he'd probably give me some Latin words I don't understand. But if you look around your average garden, okay, look around your average garden, what type of plants do we see in a garden? Can anybody name a plant we're likely to see in your average British garden? Weeds. Thank you very much, Ojan. It's almost like a prep on that, and I hadn't. Weeds is one. What else might we see? Roses. Okay, roses is a good one. What else? Joel? Daisies, yes. Grass is another one. What else? Yeah. Daffodils. Yeah, this time of year, I believe, daffodils might appear. Yeah. Sorry, can you shout it out? Buttercups. Okay. Runner beans. Okay, thank you. Tony? Snowdrops. Okay, so we've got a plethora of plants we could have in the garden. Now, unfortunately, my gardening sort of philosophy can be summed up in a very short sentence. And it basically goes, if a plant is not a tree or grass, it must be a weed and therefore it should die. Okay, and that's a very simple way to approach gardening. Any of you seen my front garden and what remains of our back garden after the chickens have been at it, will know that that is pretty much our life. In fact, our garden is more about grass, trees and random bits of rubble. But pretty much, it's a simple philosophy. I've yet to get Alan Titchmarsh to pick that one up, but I'm sure he will. But even my limited knowledge of gardening tells me something about the sower, the farmer we heard in that parable. And it seems to me he's a bit of a careless sower. Because, you know, I know if you chuck seeds on a path or you chuck seeds in rocky soil, it isn't necessarily the place where you expect the biggest harvest. So, you know, what was he doing by throwing those seeds away? But instead of seeing that as careless sowing, I would say let's see that as sowing without prejudice. Unlike John, he doesn't have a tractor with a GPS telling him where the good soil is, where to put the all the fertilizer and so on. You know, that farmer just said, I'm going to give everything a chance. Every area is going to get some seed, and I'm going to see what comes from that. Because he knew that he didn't know exactly where the good soil was. So he was just going to say, well, I'm going to chuck some seeds out, and I'm going to see what bears fruit. And this sow without prejudice sort of attitude is, I think, is one we could take to our evangelism. If you have a look around your tables now, hopefully, without opening them, everybody's got a delicious pack of seeds or sweets. And, you know, Matt was very generous giving out those sweets, wasn't he? He was very generous, just sort of said, yeah, everybody have some. And that's great. And I would hope that many of us would be sort of equally generous in giving out or telling people about the word of God, about the gospel I was talking about earlier on. But that isn't always the case. I wonder if instead of Matt putting out sweets on the table, he'd have been asked to put out pound coins. And those pound coins would have come from his pay packet. I'm not sure he would have been quite so generous. I might be doing you down, Matt. I don't know where you are. But perhaps he would have been putting out, you know, £200 or £300 on the table without thinking about it. I don't know. Perhaps he's that generous kind of person. But when we do give things out, our generosity at times does come at a cost. But even though, you know, things can come at a cost, we are told very clearly that as Christians, one of our jobs is to tell people the good news. And if we go back to Matthew 28, so that well-known phrase that says, you know, you need to go out and make disciples of everyone, everywhere. And that's a very clear message, that our job is to go out and to tell people about Jesus, to tell him what he's done for us. And when we do that, we've got to remember that that's our job. We go and tell people. It's not our job to prejudge what people's reaction is going to be. We shouldn't look at them and say, well, you look like that, or your habits are like that, or you're not the kind of person who's going to think that way, or you don't look quite right. That's not our job. Our job is just to tell people about that simple good message and then let God take the next step. And the final challenge is really to think, well, what actually is in our hands? What are we going out with those seeds to actually sow to people? And in many ways, this comes back to my first point when I was talking about productivity, about the 30, the 60, and the 100. You know, what is in our hands? Because if our hands is full of those worries of everyday life, whether they be, you know, school, and when what our work is at school, or what our relationships are with our peer, or with our family, or work colleagues, if that's what is in our hands, if that's what's for, you know, taking up all our time, then we've got less time in our minds. We've got less things to hand out, less good things to hand out to other people. And what we should be thinking about is, well, in our hands, we should have those seeds which God wants us to sow. So the seeds of the gospel, the seeds of comfort, the seeds of unconditional love, seeds of hope. So what I want us to think about is, you know, just what is in our hands. And Rachel in a moment is going to lead us in prayer on this. Because perhaps those people whose hands are full with the worries of life, and, you know, I probably include myself in that, perhaps we're the ones who are only going to increase our productivity 30 times. So what do we need to do? Well, we need to empty our hands. We need to give those worries to God and allow God to then refill our hands with those kingdom seeds. And that will then allow us to be more productive to 60 or perhaps even 100 times. Okay, now I work out that came in at less than 8 minutes, so I think I've almost come up with my promise.
So Keith's left us thinking, what is in our hands? And we're going to have a time of reflection to think about that. So is it misunderstanding, troubles, persecution? That's when you're being got at, hurt or upset by others because you're a Christian. Worries and the deception of wealth. Those are the things mentioned in the parable. And Jesus said that all these things stop or restrict growth. There's various different words in the parable that mean not being fruitful. We want to be strong, healthy plants bearing much fruit. So we want to hear his word and understand it and grow well, spreading the truth of the good news of Jesus to those we meet, not held back by these and other weeds. Maybe you're being made fun of at school, so you've stopped telling people you're a Christian. Maybe you're having money problems, or you love money too much, and you find it hard to be generous. Maybe you're so worried about all the work you have to do that you haven't really paid attention when your colleague needs to talk. I'm just going to have a slide. I have no ability to create a PowerPoint, so thank you to Daisy for putting this one together. Just to give us a few ideas. And these are just a few of the weeds that might stop us being who God wants to grow us to be. Where's your focus at the moment? What's on your mind? What do you have in your hands? So in a moment, we're going to be using those marker pens to write down your own weeds on the card and scrap paper, mainly card, on the tables. Bearing in mind they go through thin paper. Sorry, you can see I'm a bit worried about that. So we're going to be quiet first. I'll ask Ali to just play quietly as we come before God and just think about what is going on for us at the moment. Lord, may your Holy Spirit reveal the truth of what things in our life are the weeds that are stopping us grow. Amen. And as things come to mind, I'd like you to write them on one of those pieces of card. And noisy as it may be, we're going to each come up and place them on the stage because we want to bring them before God. You're going to bring your weeds and pile them up. We'll have a general clockwise movement around the room where possible, but there's no rush. Take your time to ask God what it is in your life that you want his help to weed out and remove, or his comfort to cope. But as you've written them, before you come up, could you pray in the quietness of your heart or ask someone near you to pray with you about those things so that when we've submitted them to God, we can bring them up and make a big pile which we'll deal with later. So go ahead. In your time, write down what the things are on your heart that you're struggling with at the moment or that are stopping you grow. PowerPoint team or the presentation team, Paul, a heads up. We may be showing the Christafari God is greater than I a bit earlier in a moment. Okay, now I need a few volunteers. Hands up, who likes burning things? Okay, so we'll have a couple of you. Come on out near this pile. Just stand near the pile. Who uses weed killer in the garden? Up you come. Come on, John. I think this is the time. Destruction is what we need in a minute. But just wait, though, because I'm afraid we had to rule out burning because the secretary, unfortunately, was working too hard on his lengthy sermon to be able to write the risk assessment for it. And although lots of poison works very well on plants, I'm told, we don't want to get into a debate about which brand works best. So we're going to go for good old-fashioned pulling them up and destroying them with our hands. And anyone else who just loves destruction, likes knocking over towers of bricks, you can come up too and go for it. Just get in there and pull them apart, break them up, tear them, bend them, jump on them, but safely, please. Try not to fall off the stage. And perhaps we can show the start of the Christafari images and song, which are where I got the inspiration, which Matt recommended. So we'll just show a little bit of this while we take hold of these things and just say we don't want them anymore in our lives.
What is God greater than in your life? I began by sharing my life story from stage, what I've overcome through Christ. The people responded, and we began connecting with them on a level that we never experienced before. And we witnessed such beautiful manifestations of God's grace, His love, and hope. And every story that we came across throughout the world, every person and their sign seem to be the reflection of one single unique story. It's a story that goes across all the nations, throughout all of human history. The story of God's love. What's your story?
Okay, we're going to go to slide 3 now. Obviously, I'm indicating that to Paul. And just together, we're going to say a prayer. But first, you need to open sweets and get one each to hold, and then you can eat the rest. That one to hold is symbolizing what God wants to grow in our lives, and we're going to pray together in a moment so that we can just say goodbye to these weeds. As you know, with weeds, they often come back, but we need to keep coming to God. We need to be drawing close to Him, and we need to ask Him to grow more of His truth in our lives. So I'll just give you a chance to rustle the things, eat some sweets, but have one in your hand, okay? Might get a bit sticky. Perhaps you could use that to clean off the permanent marker, I don't know. Elaine's given me a tip. Clean it off quickly and use a bit of tea. Might work. Has done over there. So when you've got your seed, can you just hold it up? Okay? In fact, can you stand? Let's stand, because we need to stand against the enemy here, don't we, as well? A lot of these weeds are what he wants to plant in our lives, and we're not having any of it. We need to stand in the truth of the kingdom of God, and in Jesus' name, as we're going to sing in a minute, it's Jesus' name. So we're going to fit that before amen, in Jesus' name, we're going to say. I meant to change that. So let's pray together. Lord, as we hold this seed, we thank you for your growth and blessing. We will keep coming to you in prayer to destroy the weeds, and we ask you to help us give seeds of your love to others generously. Amen. Oh, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Scotty. Oh, it's fantastic, that song, isn't it? And just like Keith mentioned earlier, it's so good to sing and be reminded of that happy day when something's changed. We've come to meet Jesus and he's cleaned us from that sin. We've given it to him. Whatever state we come in, at some point we can come to Jesus and give him our sin. And that's brilliant to finish with that song this morning. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for that happy day, for what you've done for us. We just rejoice in that and praise you and worship you. You're Almighty God, who could be so distant, so non-interested in any of us, and yet you love us. And in all our mess, all the things we struggle with, you love us and you welcome us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.